One of my favorite quotes is from Saint Irenaeus, and it goes like this: "The glory of God is man fully alive." Saint Irenaeus lived in the second century and is rightly celebrated as a man who came up with one of the most profound insights into what it is to be a human being. This is a $1,000 term that speaks of the theology of human nature. You see, God receives glory when human beings are truly alive. Right after this, Saint Irenaeus goes on to say, "The life of a man is the vision of God." Now let's think about that as we consider the gospel reading for today. Here is Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and who is with him? Moses and Elijah. Why Moses and Elijah? Well, they are the two people in the Old Testament who were on mountains, and on those mountains they both heard God and saw God. They were the two Old Testament personages who had a vision of God. And here they are with Jesus atop the Mount of Transfiguration. And of course, as always happens when there is a trio, I don't know if these three played music, but they're with Jesus all the time, Peter, James, and John, the apostolic trio, as I call them. And they are here, and they have a vision of Jesus glorified. And when they see him, and see him for who he fully is, they can understand themselves aright, as can we. And so I want you to be encouraged today. I want you, by the end of this homily, to be able to say, "Amen. The glory of God is man fully alive." But how is it that living in a world like this, we can have such a vision of God so as to understand what it means to be human? And I would suggest to you we need to be mindful of three things. We need to know where we are, we need to know whose we are, and we need to know the goal and the destiny of our lives. So first of all, we need to know where we are. In other words, what is our present location? What does it mean to be Christians living in a world like this? And I love what today's reading from the gospel says about this, expressed this way. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. But since they had stayed awake, they saw Jesus' glory and the two men who stood with him. Now this might sound familiar to you. Not only are the apostolic trio, they are also the sleepy trio. You'll remember that at the Garden of Gethsemane, just as Jesus is praying, "Father, not my will, but your will be done," what are these three doing? They're taking a snooze. And here again, they haven't quite fallen asleep, but they are weighed down with sleep. And they then rise to consciousness and so see God's glory in the face of Christ. So here's the thing we need to remember about our current address. In a world like this, it's easy for us to become spiritually sleepy. We are easily lulled into a semi-consciousness, and we are not fully alive because we are not fully attuned to a vision of Jesus. Now, for me, one of the best literary examples of what I'm trying to get at, what it means to be weighed down with sleep, comes from that great English author, C.S. Lewis, in his Narnia Chronicles, a book that is not as well known, called The Silver Chair. There is the story of a rescue mission. Two children, Jill and Eustace, and a marshwiggle, whose name is Puddleglum, have left the overland world of Narnia, and they have now gone into the underworld. And yes, you guessed it, the underworld is ruled by a not-so-nice queen, whose name happens to be the Lady of the Green Kirtle. Well, they've gone down to this underworld because Prince Rillian, who is the rightful heir in Narnia, was captured 10 years earlier by the queen, and she has Rillian in her clutches. And just as the rescue mission is almost completed, darn it, the queen catches them. And guess what she does? Well, you probably did guess it, because this is like a fairy tale. Yes, there is an enchantment spell that she casts over them. And do you know what happens? They become oh so sleepy. And they come to believe that the only world that exists is this underworld. There is no overworld. And at that very moment, though, Puddleglum, if you appreciate that name, Puddleglum, he really is like Eeyore through most of the story. But now he's courageous, and he stirs to consciousness, kind of like Peter, who, although way down with sleep, woke up. And listen to what Puddleglum says to this not-so-nice queen. "One word, ma'am, one word. Suppose we have only dreamed or made up all these things of trees and grass and sun and moon and stars and Aslan himself. Suppose we have. Then all I can say is that in that case, the made-up things seem a good deal more important than the real ones. Suppose this black pit of a kingdom of yours is the only world. Well, it strikes me as a pretty poor one. And that's a funny thing when you come to think of it. We're just babies making up a game, if you're right. But four babies playing a game can make a play world which licks your real world hollow. That's why I'm going to stand by the play world. I'm on Aslan's side, even if there isn't an Aslan. I'm going to live as if I am a Narnian, even if there isn't a Narnia." What a great speech. Puddleglum knew that an enchantment was working to lull him and his companions into forgetfulness of any other world than the world in which he found himself. Like him, like Peter, James, and John, we need to hear the words, "Wake up! The glory of God is man fully alive, even in a world of such forgetfulness as this one." But not only do we need to know where we are, we need to know whose we are. At the end of the gospel reading for today, there's this beautiful scene where Moses and Elijah have now exited, and the three see Jesus alone. And at that moment, the Father speaks a word that is reminiscent of what we heard at Jesus' baptism. "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When we know that we belong to Jesus Christ and that our lives find orientation and direction as we listen to him, then with St. Paul we can say, "Join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us." When we know that we belong to Jesus Christ, then we realize that our lives are to be lived in such a way that people are to see Jesus in us. That's why Paul said, "Imitate me, because I'm seeking to imitate Jesus." Now, I want to say for those of you who are parents, this is especially true with the example you set for your children. Parents, how you live will be reflected in your children. They will imitate you for good or for ill. As you know who you are, so too your children will know who they are. And together seeing Jesus, you will be able to say, "Amen, the glory of God is man fully alive." So knowing where we are, knowing whose we are, helps us daily to keep before us the goal and destiny of our lives. And these words that we have from Philippians, I think, is the clearest expression in all of the New Testament of our destiny. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that enables him to make all things subject to himself. Now, if you have time this weekend, take some moments to reflect on that. That is a profound, insightful statement. One day, these bodies that are called bodies of humiliation will be transfigured, just like our Lord was on the Mount of Transfiguration and after his resurrection. One day, these bodies will be like our Blessed Mother's, where we will be glorified. One day, all things will be subjected to Jesus Christ. And as Paul says in chapter 2 of Philippians, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, knowing where we are, knowing whose we are, and knowing the goal and destiny of our lives allows us to affirm that while we are Canadians, that is not our primary citizenship. St. Paul says, we are citizens of heaven. People with such a passport know that this world is fleeting and passing. People with such a passport know that one day we will see the beatific vision and we will be like Jesus because we will see him as he is. People with such a passport can live purposefully in the present because with St. Irenaeus, we sing our national anthem. The glory of God is man fully alive. And now we have the honor and the privilege to welcome and initiate Hannah into this heavenly citizenship.